The 1-900 Wrestling Program is brought to you as always by our Patreon. Patreon.com/1900Wrestling. Not only you get the satisfaction of supporting the show, you get a membership into our specific Discord. Yeah, Discord. It's a great place to talk about live wrestling, and we have the best crowd in the business. Head on over there right now. Patreon.com/1900Wrestling.
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number
1-900 Wrestling.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. This is the 1-900 Wrestling Program. My name is Justin Robert Young. Joining me as always is Austin, Texas' own Willie Dills Gregory. Hey, buddy.
Yeah, that's right. I am Austin, Texas' own. I think I'm officially a Texan because ID's Texan, license plate is Texan,
yeah.
House is Texan. My dog has never even seen a non-Texan patch of land.
Yeah. I think,
when I go back home, it's weird. I feel like I'm like a traveler. I feel like a tourist.
You're like, what, all these goddamn hippies all over the place. Why don't you get a job, you reefer smokers?
You know, here's where you know that you have officially like moved on from San Francisco is when you go back to visit and you're just annoyed by everything.
Yeah.
Which was my last visit. I was not annoyed by the Cow Palace or the Geneva area or, the East Bay.
Yeah.
I was very annoyed the moment I was on 9th and Lincoln trying to drive anywhere. And there was just people all over the place. And my mom is telling me why. Oh, there's a cool little piano thing going on in Golden Gate Park where people could just walk up and play pianos. And I'm like, yeah,
move it along. Move it along. Yeah, come on. We have places to go, people to see.
I'm glad you have your piano art piece going on Golden Gate Park, but I would like to.
I know, but can we? Food. Can you please get it the fuck out of my face?
I would like to park a car and drive it without having to stop every 2 minutes. Yes,
150%. No, that was the moment that I knew that I had the opposite reaction because I was moving to the Bay Area. The moment I recognized that the Bay Area was its own special animal, I was driving a friend back to the Hate where she lived. And I'm at a four-way stop, right?
Mm.
So I wait for everybody to go.
A common occurrence.
Common occurrence.
In the San Francisco streets, yes.
And I start to roll. I'm starting to roll. And as my tire crosses into the threshold of the four-way stop, a man makes his first step onto the crosswalk directly in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is a pedestrian-friendly town. I'm not going to challenge him or try to be, I'm not going to try to big dick this guy in the crosswalk. I just slow down. Now, I don't stop because I don't want it to become a thing where somebody else thinks that they're going to go and then
sure.
He kind of like scampers a little forward and I just keep going. So, I just kind of slow. I'm slow rolling. I'm like, I have no foot on the gas.
See if this guy notices what's happening, right?
I'm just like, you want to know what? I'll just slow-mo my way through this four-way stop. I'm not going to break stride. I'm not going to hit the gas. I'm just kind of rolling, right? So this guy looks over to his left at me and goes, crosswalk. And I'm like, I get it, dude. I'm slowing down. You go ahead and just continue your brisk walk. It won't be but seconds until we have cleared all this up naturally. A second time, crosswalk. And at this point, I notice that he's slowing down. He is now making a Tiananmen Square level point about the fact that I have not stopped in the center of the crosswalk. So as
he was protesting you. Yeah.
So as he can feel safe walking the other 4 feet to the other end. And so I'm like, now I'm challenged. Like, I wasn't trying to like rev my engine, in my 07 Toyota Matrix so I could really show him who's boss. But I'm like, no, no, no. This is fine. You walk to the end. He stops. Full stop in the center of the crosswalk. Looks at me dead in my eyes and goes, crosswalk, asshole. I'm like, I live in the Bay Area now. This is this is my trial by fire. There is,
you know, that one of the leading causes of death in the Bay Area is just getting hit by cars right while you're walking. Like people are just idiots when they're out on the streets. They don't care about
give
the fact their cars anymore.
Fuck. Like it is beyond the pale. I have never seen a city where pedestrians have such tremendous arrogance. Like just insane.
Yeah.
Anyway,
they have no fucks to give, and then suddenly you're hit by a car, and I think you probably give a lot of fucks.
It's like, I can kill you at any moment. Yeah. Like it is my largesse and my adherence to the law of God, city, and country that I don't run you over at any moment. But no, surely that I can at the blink of an eye end your life with my car.
The other thing I noticed when I was there was the amount of casual drug use on the streets.
Yeah,
I guess I just was numb to it before I.
Well, like
I
like the weed smoking
there.
Or the heroin,
all of it.
Yeah,
crack, weed, heroin. I mean, the weed was that was like a cool
the weed's
moment.
A
I was
given.
Like, oh, look at this,
and the weed's kind of part of the charm. Even going back, sure. It's like oh, they smoke weed on the streets out here. Like that's kind of like part of the
thing.
That's
nothing new, really.
Yeah.
It's just that it's a lot more brazen now, whereas in the past it was. The smell of weed was in the air.
The smell of weed was in the air. Yeah, no. Now, because it's legal, you can walk up to a cop and ask for a light, you know, for your joint.
You step outside the bar for a joint.
For a joint.
With your bros and just light up. Yeah. But I remember in the 2010, or was it 2010? Whatever it was, when the Giants were in the playoffs and the player for the Nationals was like, yeah, they're just smoking weed, like, right outside. And, like, he had recently gotten sober. So this was really
this
an
was
attack
a problem.
On him. Yeah. And everyone in San Francisco was like, hell yeah, that's right.
Yeah, dude, we're going to fog you out. Fucking you try to follow that fastball now.
All right, I want to start off with this.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a couple of things we want to get into. Some
news
big news.
And things.
Yeah.
But so recently we had a pay-per-view that was widely panned. Right.
Extreme Rules.
Yeah. It was not considered a very good pay-per-view by a lot of people. And then we talked about it. You hadn't watched. Have you had a chance to watch it yet?
I have not. No. I did not.
Did the panning affect your decision to like, because, you know, imagine if you woke up the next day and it was like the G1 or Wrestling.
Well,
King
yeah, I guess that's
of,
that's
like,
the thing is really I have just been in decision paralysis when it comes to wrestling lately because like there is so fucking much amazing wrestling happening right now between
the
G1.
Yeah, when the G1 is going on and NXT right now is about to heat up a Ricochet Adam Cole baby.
I mean, we have a
like,
new
what
NXT.
What am I supposed to do here?
We have a new NXT champion in Tommaso Ciampa. Impact.
You pronounce that correctly, Ciampa.
Yeah, yes. Impact is putting on apparently amazing pay per views, and that's something that I still haven't caught the Slammiversary where all I saw were the GIFs where an actual murder happened between Sammy Callahan and Penta where they were hammering railroad spikes into each other's heads.
Yeah,
like,
what the hell was that? So, that's fair enough. There is so much to catch up on that it is tough. But I want to talk about why people get so passionate about wrestling. Because now I'm going to give you an imaginary scenario here that turned out to actually be real. And just how just improbable this all is, right? So first there's nothing. There's just a mass of energy and molecules.
Sure.
It explodes and starts expanding across the universe.
All right.
At some point, things start to slow down and cool off enough that life begins on a random planet called Earth.
Okay.
It's not even called Earth at this point, right?
No.
And things slowly change. Little guppy things start to flip-flop out of the water and start to sprout little arms and figure things out. And next thing you know, you got dinosaurs, you got monkeys, you got birds, you got everything. human beings evolve out of Cro-Magnons and whatever. Whatever. Okay.
Sure.
Short history lesson. This all happens to the point where we have humanity. People learn how to read, write, how to move their arms in ways they want. They can use tools now. Like, I think about the fact that, you know, I can think with my left hand, close it open. Or I can not think about it and it just happens because I'm just thinking about picking something up, right?
Sure, yeah.
Like, we developed our brains to the point 2018 years ago, God made everything. Yeah, sorry. That's the other version of this.
Sure,
anyway.
Yeah.
We get to the point now, like, if I want to golf, it's, like, amazing. Like, look at this. I can just see this little ball, and my body can contort in ways where I can hit it 300 yards down the fairway, right?
Yeah.
Like, not to mention the fact that we've gotten to the point where survival is no longer a problem, that we're inventing things like golf just to keep us entertained. At this point, not being bored is the biggest problem that humanity has, right?
So, sure, yeah.
We could eat food whatever we want. Like, we could do all this. We've learned to grow it. We've learned to control the animals, the flora, the fauna of the world that we inhabit, right? At the apex of all of this, these are all fantastic achievements. And the number one achievement that humanity has actually done is pro wrestling. Not only at this point, we don't even need to fight. We're going to pretend to fight just because it's fun. We're going to train our bodies to be able to jump off of high places and be able to get back up and keep doing it in that very moment, right? Don't even need recovery time because we've trained our bodies to be able to do this. And then you watch this, the apex of all humanity, all creation, everything that's ever happened in the world. You talk about going from a guppy flapping around in a mud puddle to being thrown by Braun Strowman off the top of a cage match.
Yeah.
Cage. And then sometimes wrestling sucks.
Sure.
And you're like, damn it. Don't you see where we came from?
Yeah.
Can't you make it good? And that's why people get really upset and go to their internet boxes, which is another amazing achievement we've
done.
Okay,
whoa. Let me pause you right here, WD.
Sometimes there's a gobbledygooker and you're like, damn it.
So you're saying that the reason why wrestling fans specifically are such petty little bitch bots on the internet is because they are understandingly, if even implicitly, not explicitly, just hardwired into our code.
This line of thinking.
Yeah,
I'm probably the first person to make these connections.
Hardwired into us to understand how far we've come and that we are inherently dissatisfied because we watch Kevin Owens getting tipped over in a porta potty and we say, for this?
Yeah, we've come all this way so that Bayley and Sasha can feud and then forget that they're feuding and then feud and forget that they're feuding again and again and again. No, there's got to be something better. And this is why when you watch Okada Omega, it's like, it's so satisfying.
You're like,
you realize
for this
is
for this.
The pinnacle.
Yes. Yes.
This is the
we
pinnacle
came
of humanity.
So long.
When you watch Gargano Ciampa, you're like, yeah, we've made it. We did it. Oh my God. All of this hard work for all of these years, millions of years, you know, we had to get rid of the dinosaurs for this.
All right. Well, then
dinosaurs
then,
can't lock up.
I guess it's like two triceratopses maybe.
Sure. All right. Sure. It's a different kind of lockup, but they can't run the ropes. That's
they
the
can't. No. A raptor being trained to run the ropes, though. That's
an Irish whip is right out. You just,
oh, hell no. I don't think there's a single dinosaur that can do an Irish whip. That's a fact.
We do. I think this is the maybe that's the next evolution. Dino wrestling. Let's do it. We did have a Luchasaurus at Wrestle Circus that one time.
We did.
Look, my whole point is yes. Inherently, we have these things in us. We want to recreate, right? We want to procreate. We want to continue to populate the earth. This is something ingrained in our DNA. But then beyond all that, we've come so far, right? Beyond our basest instincts. And we've created all of these amazing forms of art, performance art, visual art, whatever. And wrestling is like the apex of all of it. And when it's done poorly, it makes people mad inside. And,
oh, so maybe professional wrestling is like a high performance race car where it's like, we know this is built to go 200 miles an hour. And if you fuck up one lug nut or you don't put in the right fuel or like any like one thing in this highly sensitive machine, it will not work. It will just not go. You wind
sure,
up
yeah,
finding
no, things
yourself
fall apart pretty quickly. Yeah.
But then, but if you know really what you're doing,
and
you know, but for the grace of God, go I. It all comes together. You have the most impressive thing that man has ever made.
Yes, exactly.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and when you've seen it at its most impressive.
Yeah, and it's very and
that's
obvious.
What's going on right now?
It's very obvious where it's like, no, that's no one was ever like, oh, that's going 200 miles an hour and confused it with that's not moving at all. Like, it is a very implicit thing where it's like, that's a rock, that's a McLaren. I'm never going to confuse the rock for the McLaren.
Yeah. Like, yeah, if you were on the streets and you see a Tesla and right next to it you see, you know, a Chevy Nova, you're going to be like, I know which one of these is good.
Yeah.
Right? And that's, I think, what happens here is that when you see what you know to be good, and you know to be so good because, like I said, it is just when wrestling is done right, I can't figure out a more pure form of entertainment that you can show me, right?
Yeah.
When you see it at its best.
I got it's you. I got
great,
you on this.
Right? And then when you see it not at its best, you're like, you know that you can do that, right?
Let me ask
you.
You
know
let
what's
me...
possible?
Let me right, ask anyway. You a question. This is some shit that came across my Twitter 2 days ago. So David Bixenspan writes for Deadspin. He is a great writer. And I was pleased, very shocked and surprised to find out that he knows me because I like tweeted him and he's like, oh, hi, jury. And I'm like, what the fuck? but he writes a lot. And he wrote a very positive, glowing review of the TNA show, the Impact show, Slammiversary.
Okay.
And it was Slammiversary, right? Somebody correct me if I'm getting this name wrong.
Yeah, Slammiversary.
Slammiversary, right? And then he's like showing like all these comments that he's getting either on Twitter or whatever of people that are like, hey, you hate TNA. Stop lying. Stop. TNA's, because like his headline was like, hey, TNA actually put on a really, really, really great show. And so all these TNA stands came out of the woodwork and were like, TNA's been good forever. You just have Vince's dick in your mouth, yada, yada, yada. Which is odd because he's been very, very critical of the WWE for a very long time. I would consider him to be somebody that prides himself on his ability to look at not only that company as critically, but also the organization, like the business around it very critically. But here's my question. If you're a TNA super fan, what are you really a super fan of? Almost everybody involved in that organization, from management to talent to crew, has filtered out and been turned over like 3 times in the last 2 years. It has been a company in tremendous upheaval. Like we talk in sports about rooting for the laundry. They don't even have fucking uniforms. It's just a thing that's it's gone. Like, you can't be a Spike fan. It changed channels, right? Can't be a Dixie Carter fan. She doesn't own the company anymore. You can't be a Jeff Jarrett fan. He doesn't book the shit anymore. It's under totally new management and totally new ownership, and it seems like it's going pretty well. Why
can't they're making
people
some good
be
moves
happy?
Here. I agree with you because...
And by the way, Fanatical Jim says, the Biz fan, he wasn't even here. He left, and he just signed a new contract. He wasn't at Slammiversary. Even Abyss left.
Yeah, they're fans of the name Impact. And then the name Impact is, like, changed.
They weren't, they weren't Impact. They were TNA.
Yeah, yeah. I know. That is hilarious to me. I think, though, too, that's just a silly way to look at things, right? That to me, is the guy who sees an indie band and then they get big 4 years later and is like mad that everybody else knows about this indie band that he liked, right? Like TNA puts on a good show, someone praises it, and you're like, No, you don't get to praise it. You don't get to change your mind about my lovely little product, right?
No, I watch. Yeah. Here's this is and this goes back to sports too. I made a decision in my mid 20s because I was a fan of the Pittsburgh Pirates. I still am a fan of the Pirates.
I've been to a Pirates Giants game with you where you were very clearly still rooting for the Pirates.
Rooting for the Pirates. Love the Pirates.
We had a bet, I believe, on the Pirates Giants playoff game that I'm not sure we've ever paid off.
No, I think I still need to get. I need to buy a girl buy shirt from the WWE store.
That's right. Oh yeah, girl buy.
I made a decision that I was really, I can root for a bad football team because a bad football team I only have to really think about once a week. I can probably even root for a bad hockey team because here and again, I'm just going to watch the rivalry games. That'll be that. I can't root for a bad baseball team. There's nothing else going on during the summer, and I'm not going to – like rooting for a bad baseball team is a literal exercise in masochism. Like, it is just you inflicting pain on yourself because there is nothing in sports worse than watching a shit baseball team, and it happens – 5 days out of your 7 days of the week.
162 times you either tune into the game or pick up a newspaper to see the results.
And it's bad.
Are just
spoiler
mad
alert.
All the time. Look, I'm a Giants fan. We had a few good years there, but for much of my life.
They suck, right?
Yeah. Candlestick Park with 4,000 people in it. I think actually the Giants still hold the record for lowest attendance in the major leagues at a certain point in Candlestick's history where there's less than 2,000 people at a baseball game. And that's just that's part of their legacy, right?
And by the way, when you're rooting for a truly shit baseball team, like, you know, 20 games in that they're awful. And literally the only thing you can root for is your best players because you're hoping you'll trade them. You're hoping you'll get rid of them so you can get a bunch of 17-year-olds who chew tobacco like your grandfather and may or may not be good, right? Now, I say all this to point out, like, that doesn't make, I mean, we make this, it bothers me in sports, that we make this the true test of fandom. When really it's just the true test that you gave the owners money while they were being incompetent at their job. Mm. But it's like, it doesn't make you a better fan because you rooted when the team was garbage. Everybody's allowed to peace out. If the team's not trying, that's fine. I feel like let's give everybody a clean slate for TNA fandom. Like, just because you watched dog shit wrestling for a long time, or at the very least, that's not dog shit might be too mean. Inconsistent wrestling, and you can point to that by the fact that they haven't had the same ownership or management or talent roster for like any 6 month period of time over the past 5 years, if not longer than that. Like, let's just, everyone gets a mulligan. Let's understand that you can now just enjoy this era of TNA wrestling. Nobody be provincial about it.
I mean, I'm still a little bit concerned that maybe this is not going to last very long like this, you know, because there's been, you know, it's like I've been lied to before. I've been abused before. I remember Aces and Eights being very excited about the TNA product. And then that kind of all just falling apart as well. And just kind of like going, okay, I can't watch this anymore. I actually did a radio piece about Fairweather fandom.
Yeah.
And how it is essentially, again, a lot of radio pieces, you kind of take a hands-off approach as far as your opinion. And you just like let the interviews and the whatever kind of formulate whatever the actual end goal is. Like, I don't start with an answer to the question, right?
Sure.
I just start with the
question.
But by the end, it was fairly clear that it's a healthy thing, right?
Yes.
It's really good when you discover something that you didn't know about before because there's excitement built around it, right? And that actually then, the fact that more eyes are on it continues to build that excitement, right? It makes the product better, and especially in wrestling, more fans being excited about it will make the product better. More people talking about it on the internet. More people tuning in every week. This is what they friggin' need. They need positive reviews for people who write for actual websites. And they definitely don't need people trying to shut that down.
Well, it's just, you know... all right, well, here, let's break this down. Itizzle Smash says, casual WWE fans suck because they mostly watch to see Brock. So
I've heard this argument. I don't think it's true, though.
Well, I mean, they casually watch to see. Casual WWE fans are turning the product on, wondering when Stone Cold's going to come out. Like,
sure. They, what is a casual WWE fan anyway? Is that somebody who just watches the pay-per-views? Just watches Raw? If you're watching Raw every week, you are more than a casual WWE fan.
I will say this. I think it's a healthy thing if you don't watch Raw and you don't watch SmackDown and you just watch the pay-per-views. If every
you're probably doing it right.
Every month you just get this really fun, long block of wrestling entertainment with all these really cool, well-built packages, and you're like, oh my God, this is crazy. Look at how far we've come since last month. Then all of a sudden, all those weeks in between where on Raw they just had the same fucking match a million times, a million different ways. Now it's like, oh no, I only saw Dolph Ziggler wrestle Seth Rollins twice. Not the 17 times good. in the 2 month long build.
Yeah. By the way, I want to real quick dispel the notion that the crowd was counting down from 10 every time because the match itself was boring. The match was adversely affected by the crowd counting down, not the other way around.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, anyway. I think that's just, that's a crowd.
I keep hearing that one over and over again. Nobody's even said that one. They were like, oh, the match was boring, so everybody started counting. It's like, no, the crowd was just a bunch of assholes. But like to also reiterate on that part of the casual, like, I don't watch Raw every week. Like, I don't, you know, I consider myself, I feel like in wrestling, it's actually very hard to even have a casual fan. Someone who likes wrestling, I consider, like, if you like wrestling,
yeah,
then I just consider you a wrestling fan. I'm like, yeah, because in wrestling, there's so many damn people out there who just think it's dumb, who don't understand wrestling at all. And so anybody who is a fan, I'm not trying to put you in a box and say, you're this kind of fan, I'm this kind of fan, you're this kind of fan, we're at odds. I'm just like, no, we're wrestling fans. We're at odds with everyone who's not.
All right. Hold on. So
there's two
obviously
categories here.
You
wrestling fans and non-wrestling.
Well, here.
Fans.
All right. Then let me. All right, we're gonna spitball this. We're gonna workshop this real quick.
All right,
because you, Willie Dills Gregory, are. I mean, would it be safe to say that you are a professional Hearthstone player in that you play Hearthstone on the internet and you make money from it?
Yeah, a major portion of the money that comes in every month
is Hearthstone.
Is related to the game of Hearthstone.
So, yes. Like, if you are unfamiliar with the game of Hearthstone, I'm a fan. Willie is a professional. The way that you rank up, it's called the ladder, is you keep playing and you earn stars each game that you win, and there are certain bonuses and stuff. But for the simplicity, you basically go from 25 to 1. And if you make it to 1, you are a legend player for that month. And then you determine, you know, what level of legend you are. But effectively, think of it as 25 to 1. Now, we don't have to do all 25 steps, Willie, but if there were a ladder for wrestling fandom wherein you had to watch and be knowledgeable about different things to level up your wrestling fandom for the month, would you say, like, what? Rank 10. Let's use the Hearthstone ladder just because we're familiar with it. Rank 10 would just be I watch Raw every week, right? Or I watch... You know, that's the midpoint. 25, I haven't watched any wrestling in forever.
Well, no, I think 25, like, I haven't watched wrestling in forever is, like, I haven't installed Hearthstone onto any device before.
Okay,
and I don't
got
play
you, yeah.
Right?
So you've never watched wrestling? Oh, yes. God. You know
25
fake,
means,
right?
Like, you've watched Hulk Hogan matches one time or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know who Stone Cold is and The Rock is, not because... The Rock's in a lot of movies now, but you know that he was a wrestler.
You have an elementary knowledge of, like, there's a pinfall and you count to three and you win a match, right? Like, you just know basic rules. And maybe you can identify Hulk Hogan's theme.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you know that he's a real American.
Yeah.
Sure, but so then what legend player status? Well,
before we get to it, before we get to legend, let's make our way up. So let's say 10 is you watch Raw every week.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 9 is you watch Raw and SmackDown.
Sure.
Seven.
Yeah, okay.
8. You watch Raw, SmackDown, and NXT.
And NXT, yeah. Once you add NXT, that's leveling up for sure.
And then
I think you start adding in other promotions.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah. Point. So here we go. Here we go. 5. Dad legend is you watch New Japan.
New Japan dad legend. Yeah.
Yeah. You have seen. That. So yeah. and in the parlance of Hearthstone, dad legend is rank 5. For those of you who are unaware, so rank 5 is I have watched. So like this month, I have watched a G1 tournament match. Dad legend.
Dad legend. Did it. Yeah.
Right.
Check that off. Look, I have kids. I don't got time to watch. I don't have, you know, a subscription to their service, but I will watch, like, on YouTube, the best stuff that's going on with them.
So, all right, rank 4, you can name the world champion in CMLL.
Okay.
All right. Rank 3, you slip into unironic conversation, a line from the most recent being the Elite.
Yeah, okay. I think rank 3, like, I'm not only watching wrestling, I'm also watching the peripherals of wrestling.
Yeah,
right?
I'm watching the vlogs of the wrestlers. All right, 2. What is 2? The precipice of legend.
I mean, this is where you're getting up there, right? So I think 2 is like I go to an indie wrestling show. Like locally, that's a thing that I also do. Not only do I watch it on television, on the internet.
There we go.
I go to local indie wrestling.
And the number one way, the number one legend level of wrestling fan is you complain about the booking of your indie wrestling event.
Sure. Yes, exactly.
That's it. Then you get the big diamond. It just appears in front of you. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. You are a legend wrestling fan. You have bitched about the booking of your local independent.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, when your local independent isn't doing it for you.
Oh, shit. We got to write these out. We got to write out our wrestling fan ladder.
You know, we didn't have notes, but we had a thing we were going to get to. And now I look down and it's already 50 minutes into the show.
We basically have
talked about nothing in the news and nothing going on.
No, we actually got started a little late. So we're only about a half hour in. But we can real quick have a little remembrance. Holy shit. Talk about a awful day.
In
the history of wrestling. 3 deaths on one day. Nikolai Volkov, of course, the legendary. When you talk about foreign monster heels, Nikolai Volkov and the Iron Sheik are the guys, right? I mean, you can get into Kamala and stuff like that, or the Butcher, Abdullah the Butcher. But when there was nobody, in my opinion, aside from the Sheik getting into the, like, Sergeant Slaughter, Iraqi war kind of shit, where the
Sergeant Slaughter heel turn was, like, the biggest heel thing that had ever happened, but all that is set up by the existence of these guys, right?
Well, Nikolai Volkov specifically, I mean, he, oddly enough, from the Soviet Union, and that guy, like, normally it's, and I think I read a thing from Freddie Blassie's book, or a book about Freddie Blassie, where Nikolai Volkov was saying, you know, my mom was from Yugoslavia, but my dad was Italian and from Croatia. There were already a bunch of Italian wrestlers, so I couldn't do that. Nobody knew where the fuck Croatia was, so I couldn't be a Croatian wrestler. So I became the representative of the USSR, and he told Freddie Blassie, who was training him, and he's like, I don't like the U.S. I hate it. I got out of there as soon as I can. It sucks. And he's like, Freddie Blassie, which is one of the brilliant things about professional wrestling, is, hey, you know why it sucks. Make that your art. Your art is explaining to people why this is a bad place. You are wearing your heart on your sleeve. It's just in a different way. And it just shows you how transgressive this fucking art form is, man. Like, it's so topsy-turvy and weird when it's like, no. Sing from your heart, but explain to everybody. Show, don't tell. Don't get up there and say, I hate the Soviet Union, which is why I left. Show them why you left the Soviet Union. Like, that's so fucking amazing and bizarre.
By the way, are there any current people doing a Russian heel gimmick that you know of? Because it's definitely not happening in in WWE.
Well, I mean, not since Rusev.
Well, Rusev, but even then, yeah, like they had him representing a Russian, but they still didn't really hide the fact that he was Bulgarian.
No, no, no. He was the Bulgarian brute now making his residence in Moscow, yes, sure, with Lana.
Rusev was the last, but yeah, he was waving the Russian flag.
Although Lana apparently cutting promos on her Twitter
in Russian.
Lana cutting promos on her Twitter without the Russian accent. I guess she's just dropping the Russian accent.
She's just dropping it. Yeah, she's doing a Kofi Kingston, I think. But yeah, like, it seems like this is the perfect time.
Tell you what, she cut a damn good promo. It was really good. I thought she was great.
This is the perfect time though to have someone who is like uses the words collusion a lot. Is like you know doing some sneaky stuff. It could go over well, but I feel like since, I don't know, it seems to me like WWE has shied away from being too on the nose with this stuff when it's actually like in the public eye, the way that this kind of is, right?
Yeah.
Similar to like, they're not going for the terrorism gimmicks anymore. You know, it's like they literally fired the last guy that was doing like a terrorism gimmick.
Yeah.
And like at the time of Nikolai, we, you know, like it was full on, like, we hate you, you hate us, we are enemies.
Exactly.
And yeah, I just watched Glow recently. You got the girl trying to stop doing her terrorism gimmick. And it's like, yeah, that's how wrestling, like, it used to just be totally unafraid of that. And I know a lot of indie promotions are still like that, where they're not afraid, right?
Oh, one dude fucking stepped in it because Ryan Satin of the Pro Wrestling Sheet blew up the fact that he was doing a goddamn Nazi gimmick in 2018, doing a gimmick as Blitzkrieg, real Nazi, who's like fucking Zig Hailing in the crowd. Bad look, dog.
To me, though, that's so awesome. I love that kind of stuff, right? I know, like, sometimes, there is a line that you maybe want to watch out for, but, like, there was the guy who, like, dropped the hard R N-word in the show where he was pretending to be like a racist Boy Scout leader or something like that. You remember this thing? So like there's some times where you're like, yo, dial that back a notch.
I mean,
but
look,
I'd like to see people pushing the envelope.
I'm fine with it if you are understood that this is a transgressive thing, right? Like there's a character at Freak Show Wrestling in Vegas who is Gadolf Schittler. He is a gay Hitler, and he comes out goose-stepping. I don't know if he's Zig Hiles.
I mean, that's just fucking brilliant.
But it's like, that's so out there. And it's in a nightclub. It's an adult show. It's similar to Hood Slam in that, like, this is for adults. Kids aren't getting in.
But this is why wrestling is the highest form of entertainment, because you can have guys like Drugs Bunny exist. You can have Macho Sasquatcha, and you can have Gadolf Hitler.
Oh, of course. Schittler. Yeah, Gadolf Schittler.
Yeah.
Of course, Brickhouse Brown also died. I'm going to be totally honest with you guys. I don't know a lot about Brickhouse Brown, so I'm going to just wish our condolences to his friends and family. But probably the biggest one that we were familiar with his actual work when we were growing up is Brian Christopher, a.k.a. Brian Lawler, a.k.a. Grandmaster Sexay of Too Cool. He is the son of the legendary King Jerry Lawler, somebody that had a very, very, very troubling life with addiction and took his own life by hanging himself in prison. You know, do you have many memories of Too Cool and Rikishi?
To be honest, this was, they were, I mean, I definitely remember, I remember like that was kind of the, you know, cause they had the, he wasn't the guy who did the friggin'
worm
and all
Scotty,
right?
Scotty Too Hotty did the
worm. Scotty Too Hotty. Yes. Yes. So I mostly just remember, and I remember Rikishi being there and the dancing and all that kind of stuff. But they were, that was mid-card at a time in my wrestling fandom that all that really mattered to me was Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior and whatever was that, and Bret the Hitman.
Oh,
Hart,
no. That was more Stone Cold Brock era. That's true,
actually. Yeah, it's a little later than that. So that's actually part of my blackout period, yeah. Then, essentially.
I will challenge anybody to do this. Go back and watch. Like, you think of Too Cool and Rikishi as like, oh, cool, yeah, they were a mid-card act. And indeed they were. But they were mid-card in the way that, like, Andre Iguodala is, like, the fifth best player on the Warriors. It's like,
sure.
Like,
yeah.
He's really good. And that pop, when they came out and did that dance, was monstrous. I mean, they were... I don't believe that they were the same kind of creative dynamos that, let's say, the New Day are, but they were getting those levels of reactions because the business was so hot and that act was so hot, and it tapped into the fact that, like, you know, Rikishi was only really able to play the monster, right? He was sure. He was like a better, more athletic version of Yokozuna, but he, in his heart, is this big goofball who likes to dance. And, like, the fact that he got to showcase that was just massive. I mean, talk about a team that, you know, you would have loved in this modern world to see in, like, a trios tournament or something like that. Like, they could all go. And Brian Christopher is just, man, a very, very sad legacy of legacy kids.
It's a strange thing, too, because he, you know, like, it wasn't like I was keeping up with what was going on, but, like, you remember, what was his name? Aaron Gonzalez, is that his name? The football player.
Who
committed murders and had brain damage and everything, and you hear about him hanging himself in his cell, and then I'm like, what the hell did Brian Christopher do that's so bad? And then you're like, oh, he's wrestling like drunk driving. And it's like, there's something else going on here where it's just like, just being in a cell was like reaching rock bottom for him or something. Where...
Well, he had a drug problem. So you can assume that this is a very, very low point. You know, this is a...
Yeah, it's just being alone in a cell like that when you're already low, right? Aaron Hernandez, thank you. I said Gonzalez, but it's Hernandez. Yes, there you go.
Yeah,
but anyway, and then you know, being a wrestler for a long time.
Well, but you're Jerry Lawler's son, right? And sure. We saw this with David Flair. David Flair overdosed. It was Reed. Wait, no, Reed Flair. Reed Flair. Jesus, we're getting all sorts of people's names wrong. Reed Flair overdosed. You know, another son of one of the greats. It shows you how. You know, it makes you appreciate somebody like Cody Rhodes all the more, in my opinion, of Randy Orton all the more, of all these second generation guys that still had their fathers out there doing stuff while they were growing up. And sometimes that's fine. Sometimes it works out good. Sometimes it doesn't. And I'm not saying that wrestling causes this, but.
Sure. I think there's
unfortunately, it's that kind of pedestal.
There's a lot of things where it's the lifestyle of someone who's on the road like that as your father, and then shoes to fill and things like that, and pressure when you're young. And then, yeah, then maybe you step into a business that, I don't know, maybe isn't exactly like I think it was probably the thing for him. But life is tough for these kids, you know, like it's same thing happens in music. Right. A lot of times, like the children of rock stars and stuff. Struggle a little bit with that as they grow up.
Oh, yeah. Well, God knows how they're going to handle this shit on Raw tonight. We were obviously recording this before Raw, but like, I think they're going to start every fucking hour with a 10 bell salute, because they can't just do it. You can't just lump Nikolai Volkov and Brian Christopher in one thing, right?
That would be awkward, right? Yeah. I don't know. I maybe they do something at the beginning and the end or something like that. I mean, they're also apparently tonight is Ronda Rousey returning and Brock Lesnar returning and, you know, a lot of stuff going on. So this is actually a Raw that I'm very curious to tune into. We had last week the big announcement, right?
Yep.
Of the all women's
pay-per-view. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah,
we missed that. Yeah. Evolution.
Oh, yeah. That was just the thing that happened.
Yeah. An all female pay-per-view. If you're getting your shit in a twist about this, settle down. It's fine. We're going to have a really fun show. It's going to be overbooked to the hilt. It's going to have fun surprises. I'll tell you what, one of my favorite things so far this year in wrestling was that Women's Royal Rumble, because they had the entire history of women's wrestling to draw from. There's never been one before. They could bring back everybody, and they did bring back everybody. It touched on every major feud. It was like the carousel of progress of women's wrestling. It was great. It was super fun. I expect a similar thing here with this one.
Now, you know, I'm curious about this because I'm like, we don't have things like women referees and stuff either going on. It would be kind of cool if they, you know, like, are the announced team going to be all the men on the announced team too? Or are we going to just have women doing interviews? Like, I would like to see them push this even further. Right?
I would suspect that we will get a female announced team, and I would be upset if it was not led by Renee Young. I think that it is high time that she was able to do the play-by-play.
Stephanie doing commentary too? Okay, that makes sense, yeah. And then, of course, James Ellsworth will win the title at this.
James Ellsworth back on the indies now.
Yeah, apparently that was like just a small. There's one female ref in NXT that, yeah, I've seen.
Actually, no, I think they hired a second one. I think I remember seeing.
Oh, really? That. Okay. Because yeah. I know, yeah, they wanted to have some for Mae Young Classic too, right? Anyway, yeah, it's exciting. It's good. It's a good thing. By the way, TNA stands, as you called them earlier, are coming out of the woodwork to be like, TNA did this first, you know? Impact's already had an all-women's pay-per-view. And I'm like, okay. What? WWE shouldn't? Like,
I mean, look.
I don't understand.
Say whatever you want about the WWE, and believe you me, there's plenty to say about it. Even say what you want about how fucking weird and shittily they have booked women throughout their history. But right now, nobody is putting more women in bigger profile positions than the WWE. Like, they're it. New Japan ain't. Ring of Honor ain't. Like, Ring of Honor, certain they have a women's division now, so.
Yeah, they tried, clap but it for seems them. Like that kind of fizzled a little bit, right? When they had Emma come back and everything, it's like, I haven't heard a lot going on with it. Because they just don't have the depth, right? Like, the depth of what WWE has right now with NXT and SmackDown and Raw all having pretty fat rosters of women, right? Like,
yeah.
That they don't just fight the same person all the time, which I think was one of the problems that I had with, you know, because I did like, what do they call it? The knockouts division.
Yeah.
I watched some of those, like Gail Kim matches. Oh, my God. Like, they were put on these insane matches, right? And then the problem was that every week I felt like it was the same people fighting.
Yeah.
Because they just didn't have enough, right? They didn't have enough women. Like, what they can do in WWE is they can actually give them feuds where they progress to another feud, to another feud, to another feud, a la wrestling forever, right? Not just like same two people fighting forever.
I'm going to make one unpopular opinion on this of mine.
No, oh, hot take, huh?
Hot take.
All right.
I believe there should be, Willie Dills, one male match on the Evolution card.
Reasoning being?
It should be a bra and panties pudding match. or no, maybe just their version of it. Like a banana hammock. Like, mm-hmm. You know, you have to strip them down. And maybe Roman Reigns' left nut pops out, like, okay. You know, like, just like, oops, oh, how funny. This crazy thing. And then just have, you know, like Trish Stratus and Tori Wilson just, like, making the grossest comments about their, like, dicks yeah, and ass. Sure. Like,
sure. Or they should do, like, a 12-man tag where all the men awkwardly get into one stupid spot in the middle. Like, they all suplex each other or something like that at some point, and then the match lasts for like 3 minutes.
There we go. So I do think that we should have a banana hammock match.
All right, banana hammock match.
At Evolution, and that should be the only male match on the card.
If that is, yes, if they were to do that, All right. There you go. Trish just super soaking some dudes in the middle of the ring. That's awesome.
We're going to see aardvarks.
Oh, sizzle.
All right.
Well, I know this. It's going to get a lot of eyes on WWE for this. And, you know, and it's going to get my eyes on it.
I think, because, look, when WWE's back is against the wall, they book really, really well. And their back's against the wall on this because they do not want this to suck. Which is probably why they're delaying the fucking Sasha Bailey match again.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I think this has got to be they think they want some big time feuds going over here. And yeah, there's some other weird stuff that they've made decisions on in the past. I think people are maybe starting to see why there was like a light at the end of the tunnel type of thing.
Although, by the way, I would say this. If I'm going to predict how that pay-per-view ends, it ends with the four MMA horsewomen facing off. Like the final thing that happens is the standoff between the MMA horsewomen with Ronda Rousey and the NXT horsewomen. And we set that up for Survivor Series.
Ah, okay.
Because that's the best place to do that match.
Sure. Right? Yeah, absolutely. I can get behind that. I mean, they teased that so long ago and then haven't really come
back.
Well,
one of them was given birth and
sure. Yeah, there was things going on.
Yeah, there were things happening. And now the other two just started at NXT. So we're going to get this at some point.
Yes.
I would suspect that it will probably be either set up or paid off at Evolution. We didn't get to our big bit. We were going to do people from other professions in wrestling, but we have a run out of time. Trey Warren did send me a thing, but I didn't load it, so we'll do that next week. Willie, what do you got going on this week?
I am, as previously stated, not traveling for the next couple of months, so I will be streaming as much as physically possible. I am trying to you know, take some extra bartending shifts and things like that to try to save up for the next round of things, which is going to be in November, where I'll be going to BlizzCon and the MGA thing. So, but for now, count on a lot of Dills streams. Check me out, twitch.tv/WillieDills. Be playing a lot of Hearthstone. We got the big Boomsday project coming out. So ramping up for that. So yeah, just come over and check me out there.
Hell yes. You can, of course, watch me on the channel that we are streaming this on right now. That is twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. You can support this show, patreon.com/1900wrestling. Get access to our Discord. It's the best part about this show. You know, listen to me now. Believe me later on. What else is going on? Not a whole hell of a lot. Follow me on Twitter, @JustinRYoung. But until next time, friends.
I want you to call me World of Wrestling.
This is me, Justin Robert Young, signing off for Willie Dills. Gregory, remember.
Remember the number 1-900-WRESTLING.
Be dying.
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hot Rock.
Smile. What the Rock is cooking.
And his name is John C.
Well, look at this prima donna.
Thank God Donald Trump already yet.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.